In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Hallelujah, Jesus has been raised to life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you and me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you and me. Because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Do you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? Do you know that God has created you for exploits in the kingdom? You see, most people have no idea what God has done for them and wants to do for them. Most people have no idea. I tell you, priests and lay people, we have an identity crisis when it comes to the things of God. We think that just what we did last year is what we're going to do this year, and nothing is going to happen different. I'm telling you, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he has been raised from the dead and is at the Father's right hand and is pouring out his Holy Spirit upon people who believe. Jesus is doing that today, pouring out his Holy Spirit upon people who believe. We remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel, that the Holy Spirit was with them, but he would be in them. Oh yes, that's Pentecost. That's Pentecost. Well, the church always takes the Acts of the Apostles after Easter because it shows the mighty works of God in the church. What Jesus did is what the church will do. And this is still true. Unfortunately, we don't know who we are. I'm looking at Acts 1, and Luke writes, "The former treatise," that's Luke's gospel, "have I made, O Theophilus," Theophilus means lover of God, "of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." He began to do and to teach. Remember, there are many more things that Jesus did. Were they all recorded in books, all the books in the world would not be able to hold them. There are many things that Jesus is doing today. I think about the man who came to me, and he needed an operation. They were going to take some bone in his body and put it on his head because the skeleton of the head wasn't, there was no bone, and it needed a bone, or there would be a problem with his brain. And I remember praying with him, I really don't remember praying with him, but I know I did because he told me. And what happened, you know, I didn't know what happened. I didn't have any word of knowledge that God provided something. I didn't have any knowledge. I just knew that I prayed in faith that Jesus would do what only Jesus could do. Well, when he went back to the doctor and had a CAT scan, a bone appeared on his skeletal head. That's God. There are many more things that Jesus did where they all recorded, all the books in the world would not be able to hold them. What's Jesus doing in your life today? What's Jesus doing in my life today? Many more things, many more things. You know what I'm praying for, and I think it's inspired. I'm praying for complete restoration in my life. Complete restoration in my life. That's what I'm praying for. You can join me in your prayers that the Lord would completely restore me to all the things that he has for me so that I can give them out to you. I never receive without giving. Whenever God teaches me something, I always want to give it to you because that's my life. My life is not hoarding things for myself, but to give them out to people. Freely you have received, freely give. And that's my life. I want to do that, but I need more restoration in my life. You pray for that. We're looking at the second verse. He began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. That's the ascension. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gives commandments to the apostles that he has chosen. There are 11 of them now because Judas hanged himself. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For 40 days Jesus showed himself to the apostles. But we remember Peter said, I'm going fishing. He wasn't going to be waiting for Jesus to come because you can't make him come. He comes because he wants to come, and he comes at the time that he wants to come. But Peter said, I'm going fishing, and all the disciples said, we're going to go with you. They had no right to be going fishing, as I said. They had sold their boats and they had sold their nets, but now they wanted to do something familiar. It was the same thing on the Mount of Transfiguration when the glory of God came upon Jesus and the Father's voice was heard. They said, let us build three tents. In other words, let's do something. We're not comfortable with all this power, with all this glory. Let's just build three tents, because it was the time of building tents. They didn't want any of this mystical stuff. They wanted to do something that they could do. Build three booths, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But they never had a chance to do it because the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So Jesus showed himself to the apostles for 40 days and spoke to them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, this is very important. This is very important. In the Acts of the Apostles, the Scripture tells us that the apostles received the teaching. They did the teaching to the people. They did the prayers. They celebrated the Eucharist. And what prayers do you think they did? Yes, the Our Father, and yes, the Psalms. Oh, yes, and then the community. Those four things, the Acts tells us. There was they submitted to the apostles' teaching, which came directly from Jesus, to the prayers, which included the Psalms and the Our Father, the community, which were one community under the Holy Spirit, and the Eucharist, the breaking of the bread. I tell you, the Word of God says, as often as you do this, you do it in memory of me. I know that extreme prophetic, they do not have the Eucharist real. But you know what they have every morning? They have Holy Communion as they do it. Now, I know it's not the Lord Jesus, and they even would say it's not the Lord Jesus. But the point of the matter is, Jesus said, as often as you do this in memory of me, do it. As often. He didn't say as seldom, once a month. He said, as often as you do these things, do them in memory of me. And being assembled together, that's the community, with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard me say. Oh, yes, they were to wait for the promise of the Father, as Jesus had taught them that the Holy Spirit was about to come. And how did they wait? It tells us in Luke's Gospel, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now they're expecting the Spirit. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So how did they wait? They waited continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They spent their time praising and blessing God. And when that happened fully, you know what happened? Ha-ha, the Spirit of God came. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit, not many days hence. You shall receive the promise of the Father, not many days hence. As they spent their time worshiping and praising God in the temple, When they therefore had come together, that's the community, they asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now they're looking for politics, you know. Who's going to be the next president of the United States? Jesus said to them, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know, it's none of your business, the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But the 8th verse, the 1st chapter, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. I tell you, you shall receive dynamos, you shall receive power, you shall receive dynamite when the Holy Spirit comes, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and through the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you want to know where the persecution started? It went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to all the ends of the earth. I tell you that Jesus told the apostles that they were going to be witnesses, martyrs, that's the word witness, martyrs of his resurrection, martyrs of his death and resurrection, and that they would receive power. I tell you, the church does not have a power shortage, but we have a faith shortage. We do not believe, most of us, that there is power in the blood of Jesus. Peter Kreft is a philosophy teacher in Boston College, and one of the questions he asks in a certain class that he does, why are you going to heaven? Okay, that's what he asks. And he says, all the Catholics are filling a blue book. I did this, I did that, I did the other thing, I did this, I did that. And the Protestants write, the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, the Protestants are right. The blood of Jesus, and because of the blood of Jesus, you do this and that and the other thing. Because we've been ransomed with the price, the blood of the Lamb, you do this, you do that, you do the other thing. I remember in my first assignment, this beautiful woman, I happened to say, you who baked brownies for the church over and over again, your brownies aren't going to get you to heaven. She didn't like me at all, because she had baked brownies all her life for the church. But you know what? I said, because Jesus is Lord of your life, you bake brownies. You know, she moved to Arizona and was able to hear me on the radio. And she finally agreed with me that it's not the brownies that she baked, but that the faith that God gave her through the grace of God. And therefore, because she had faith, she produced brownies. You know what I'm saying? This is just simple stuff. This is simple stuff. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what you're going to receive, power. And we need that power. Without that power, nothing happens. Nothing happens without the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's just like that. We are in need of that power, and that power is a person. I don't like when people say, I like the energy in this room. I don't like that at all. That's New Age. I'm not into energy. I'm into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person in the Blessed Trinity. Oh, yeah, sometimes the power of God goes through my hands and there is an energy, but it's not energy, it's the glory of God. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. One lady said to me, would you talk about the New Age movement? I'm going to tell you, the New Age movement is as old as Adam and Eve. They wanted to become God. The New Age movement says you can become God. Hallelujah. They're absolutely wrong. You can never become God. You can become God-like through the Holy Spirit. You can become virtuous through the Holy Spirit. You can become witnesses through the Holy Spirit, but you're never going to become God. Never. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him, but we're never going to be God Almighty. The New Age tells people that they can be God Almighty. They're their own God. Well, I know people that I've ministered to in the last 34, 35 years who had a problem. They thought they were God. And you know where they ended up? They ended up in a house of in that sanitarium. They ended up there. They're not God. The New Age says you can be God. You can be your own God. No, no, no. But this is what we can be. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God wants through the church. That the kingdom of God would come. That the will of God would be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's nobody in heaven that's suffering, and there's no one in heaven that has arthritis. God wants the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, because you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What kind of cloud was it? Was it a cumulus cloud or a cumulonimbus cloud? It was the cloud of glory that led the Israelites through the desert during the day. It was the glory of God that covered Jesus. The cloud, not a cloud at all. It was the presence of the Father, the presence of the Spirit that was all around Jesus as he ascended into heaven. The scripture says God goes up with shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets to the Lord. God goes up with shouts of joy. Ho! A blare of trumpets to the Lord. Jesus Christ went up with shouts of joy, and that was because he was coming home. It was the big homecoming of Jesus when he went back to the Father. The biggest homecoming. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, beheld two men stood by them, and they were in white apparel, white clothes, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven?" You know, I can just see them, these apostles, with their mouths open as Jesus is going up to heaven. You know, and they just cannot fathom it. And the scripture says, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand up gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which was taken from you into heaven shall so come in a like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." In other words, he's coming back. He's coming back. Some people say already he's come back. He has not come back yet. He has not yet come back yet. Oh, but there should be power in the church. There should be power in Catholic churches, Protestant churches, non-denominational churches. There should be power because Jesus said, "You shall receive dynamos, power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." I don't know why we make things so difficult. I guess we just don't believe the Word of God. We just read it and we say, "Well, we read the Word of God." Like the person that said, "I read the Word of God in a year." Isn't that wonderful? Now, what did you get out of it? Well, I read it. But what did you get out of it? How much of the Word of God is in you? Well, I read it. Oh, it's not the issue of only reading it. It's the issue of putting it into practice. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, only that verse in the Bible, Acts 1:8, it describes the whole of the Acts of the Apostles, that people are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. That's the great baptism of the Spirit that we pray for people. Oh, you know, I had a young man that had come to us, and his name is Tadas. I want you to pray for him. Tadas, the power came upon Tadas. The power of God came upon Tadas. And he starts speaking in other languages and prophesying. But you know what happened? When he went back to California, he went into a dead Catholic church, and he went looking for a pastor who would shepherd him. It's very sad. It makes me sad. You don't know how it makes me sad. And someone asked Tadas, "Are they prophesying in the church?" "No." But the TARDIS went to China with the pastor and other people to bring the word of God. Well, you got to give them credit. You got to give them credit, you know. They are collecting our sheep because our pastors don't know that there is power to witness. Most people don't know. Most pastors don't know. Most lay people don't know. There is a great identity crisis. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I'll never forget when Dan Rehill was with me, I was taking this verse, and he took it, and he said, you know, what do you mean, after that? I said, I have no idea. That's just what the Bible says. After that, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. I have no idea about after that, but I do have a great idea that you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth, and that there's going to be power in your ministry. Oh, yes, power in the ministry. Why? Because Jesus promised it. He said the Spirit of God was with them, the apostles, at the Last Supper, but that he would be in them. Oh, yes, that's why they spent their time praising God in the temple, waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So let's return. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. What does that mean? On the Sabbath, you can walk from Jerusalem to the Mount Olivet and not sin. It was a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up to the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zealot and Judas, the brother of James. All continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. I tell you, they were worshiping God in that upper room. Oh, yes, from the day of the ascension until 9 days. That's why we get novena. 9 days. And we know what happened on the 9th day. Yes, we know what happened. We know that on the day of Pentecost, when it fully had been in, had come, they were all together in one accord and in one place. And suddenly the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire that sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People say, do you believe in the speaking of tongues? I have to believe it. It's biblical. I have to believe it. Then you're a fundamentalist. I don't know what I am, but the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And what's the difference between them and us? We need the Holy Spirit far more than they needed him. They didn't have abortion that was legal all 9 months. They didn't have a law that says two men can be married together. They didn't have those things. I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit more than anybody else, because we are in dire trouble. Have you noticed it? Have you noticed that we're in dire trouble? And the only answer is the Holy Spirit. It's not Father Tom's ministry. It's not the church's ministry. The only answer is the Holy Spirit through the church's ministry. The only answer is the Holy Spirit through the ministry of Father Tom. It's all about the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, the Holy Spirit who comes to endue us with power, who comes to give us the ability to love one another as Jesus loves us. Oh, it's all about the Holy Spirit. And where is that Spirit to be found? Our pastor never mentions the name of Jesus. Well, the Spirit's not there. Our pastor says he only can preach 10 minutes. 10 minutes, then we're going to, how many weeks? 168 hours in the world. and how we are worldly and we are not kingdom-minded. It's very sad. Minimalism. I remember Palm Sunday, I remember preaching, and the Lord changed my sermon, and he said, I want you to preach against minimalism. He said, I gave my life for everyone here, and it's not just the minimal that you do, and it's not that. You've got to give your whole self to me. You've got to be burned in the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus. He said, speak against minimalism. I did. I don't know what it did, but I did what he told me to do, and hopefully someone got the message. Hopefully someone got the message. Minimalism stinks. It doesn't do anything. You know, how much can I do this before it's a sin? My Lord, you're nothing but a Pharisee, and you don't even believe in the resurrection. Well, we'll continue tomorrow. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time, proclaiming the word of God that Jesus Christ has been crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. I do need to hear from people so we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.